in How to Understand the Mind, Venerable Geshe says, when he's explaining the mental factor, non-attachment, which is what we've been looking at. Non-attachment, you remember, is a virtuous mental factor that directly opposes attachment. Geshe explains three types of non-attachment. Non-attachment to this life, non-attachment to samsara, and non-attachment to solitary peace. I find this section so helpful, so helpful. This really kick-starts Mahayana thinking for me. It takes me from renunciation, which is focused just on myself, to in the direction of bodhicitta. Let me read to you a little bit what Venerable Geshe says in How to Understand the Mind. He said, there is another threefold division, non-attachment to this life, non-attachment to samsara, and non-attachment to solitary peace. Ordinary beings have attachment to this life and attachment to samsara, but only those who have attained tranquil abiding can develop attachment to solitary peace. Some Hinayana foe destroyers, for example, remain in the peace of concentration for thousands of years, during which time they do nothing to help other living beings. Although their attachment to peace is not an actual delusion, it's called attachment to emphasize the fact that it is a major obstacle to the bodhisattva way of life. Now, we know this. Okay, so maybe we have tranquil abiding, maybe we don't. But we know that it's very easy to become attached to the peace and quiet and comfort of meditation, our own practice, and so forth. And during that time, we don't really want to think about other people and their problems, and we don't have a lot of energy for dealing with it. We just want to disappear into some comfortable mental cocoon and enjoy our own private peace. So these tendencies, many of us have these tendencies. We have to see, it looks like we have some attachment to solitary peace. It's not actual attachment to solitary peace because we don't yet maybe have tranquil abiding, but it's like a similitude of it. And we can see the dangers. We can see how it pulls us in a different direction, away from the Mahayana. Geshe says, bodhisattvas, this is extraordinary, bodhisattvas consider attachment to solitary peace to be more harmful than ordinary attachment. Incredible. Bodhisattvas consider attachment to solitary peace to be more harmful than ordinary attachment. Geshe says, if a bodhisattva generates attachment towards his or her family, this will not necessarily cause his compassion or his wish to benefit others to diminish. But if he develops attachment to solitary peace, his compassion and bodhicitta will definitely degenerate. Moreover, if he remains too long in a state of solitary peace, he will transgress his commitment to benefit others. Okay, so it looks like there's some more work to do here. What we need to do now is to bring other people into the formula and start to apply to them everything that we've learned about ourselves. So in this extraordinary verse, when Genla taught this verse, he marveled at the first line, which says, all mother living beings who care for me with such kindness. He said, so many realizations, so many meditations packed into those few words. And he said, when we contemplate this, so we're going to meditate on this verse, when we contemplate this, try to, you know, with all of these verses, we try to bring in our experience from previous meditations and mix them with the meaning of the word. So we have meditated on how all living beings are our mother. We have meditated on reflecting on the kindness of all mother living beings. And we have meditated on developing a wish to repay their kindness. Or if we haven't, then we can look in Venerable Geshe-la's books and see how to do these meditations. These are very beautiful meditations. What we understand from these meditations is that we are related to every single living being without exception, because they have been our mother. Every living being has been or is our mother, also our father, brother, sister, many different connections, but we tend to emphasize all living beings are our mother, a kind mother, and we think about all the kindness we received in this life from the mother of this life, starting with this very life that she gave us. And then there comes a gratitude. Maybe sometimes in a modern mind that's all confused and got a bit, maybe too much therapy or something, then we start thinking, no, my mother doesn't have any good qualities. In fact, she's the source of all my problems. This is a deluded mind, not coming from wisdom. If we have wisdom, we realize that we have received so much kindness from our mother of this life. And there comes a real feeling, holding her dear, wishing to repay her kindness. There comes affectionate love, feeling close to her, feeling warm-hearted, feeling she's very dear to me. So, yeah, maybe some of us have to work on getting that feeling for our mother of this life, if our mind is polluted by these, you know, I have to say, false minds that our mother, maybe we are thinking, our mother is not kind. So we meditate, we get this special feeling. Now, can you carry that feeling? Can you honestly think in your heart, each and every single living being is my mother? Every single living being has shown me the same kindness. Can you get that feeling? Holding them dear, holding them special, a warm feeling in your mind. The same feeling that you get when you think of your mother of this life. So these meditations help us to do this. So then, on that basis, we then think, well, all these kind mother living beings, they're all drowning. You know, in the ocean of suffering. In our culture, if we say to somebody, how are you doing? We're very stoical, and we tend to say, I'm fine, thank you, or really good. We know that's not true. You know, all over Facebook and so forth, you see these things. Today, when you see someone, remember that inside they're fighting a battle that we cannot see, and be kind to them. And it's the truth, it's the truth. Everybody's fighting a battle. Everybody's dealing with their suffering. Some are dealing better than others, but everybody inside is dealing with their own samsara. We know that because I'm dealing with my samsara. I just have to extrapolate exactly the same way as I'm struggling. Everybody's struggling. And yeah, for the sake of others, we put on a smiling face and so forth. It doesn't mean the struggling's gone away. So, all mother living beings who care for me with such kindness are drowning in the fearful ocean of samsara. And then Geshe-la gives us a big wake-up call. I love these two. He says, if I give no thought to their pitiful suffering, I'm like a mean and heartless child. So typically examples that are given in the scriptures is, suppose you're traveling with your mother and you're captured by some brigands, and they incarcerate you, they lock you up in a room or jail or something like that. And you figure out a way to escape, and you sit there and you plan your escape, and you execute your escape without even thinking about your mother. That's a mean and heartless child. Think about that. Or you're on a boat with your mother, and the boat sinks, and both of you are in the water. And you see, you can get to the shore, so you just set off, swim to the shore, without a single thought for your mother. You just leave her. We almost can't think that, can we? But that's what we're doing. These metaphors are very helpful. Because all the time we're just so focused on ourselves, so focused on solving our own problems, so focused on finding happiness for ourselves. That's exactly what we're doing. All mother living beings are drowning in this wretched ocean, but we're not giving them any thought at all. We're planning our own escape, we're planning our own solutions. But what are we doing to help them?